Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freundo, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language, and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another Nintendo video chat. This is a very exciting video chat. The moment is nigh. The Wii U launch is in a matter of days. Hey, hours.
Wow.
I know.
Intense.
Well, technically, like 2 years ago, it was still a matter of hours, right?
Yeah, that's true. We're talking about sun cycles here. We're going to be talking about the Wii U launch today and giving you a bit of a launch guide. We'll be talking about the games, the console that we've had for a couple weeks now, and its many quirks, and also its awesomeness. We'll have an awesome live stream, too, on Monday.
Yeah.
The 19th,
yeah,
which I think most of us here will be on. And so check in for that on IGN.com.
Good.
Except for me. I won't be on it. But I'll watch it.
We should drag you on at some point. You should come up.
Just come on up.
Monday's
video Obama.
But yeah, Sam, Audrey,
you're supposed
and
to be
I
bringing
be
us pizza, right?
And if you guys have been wondering why we haven't podcasted in so long, it's Wii U's fault. Blame Wii U.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Been a little busy.
But we've been playing a lot of Wii U, which has been really nice.
Yeah.
So the voices you just heard are Richard George, Audrey Drake.
Hey, everyone.
Per Schneider.
Good day.
And hosting
he
here
is... He was definitely
is,
not drinking the soda.
You caught me mid-Dr. Pepper sip.
Hosting is who? Dr. Pepper?
Yes, hosting is me, Samuel Claiborne. Even though we're all excited, let's kick this off with a bit of a little bit scary news that the Wii U video apps we found out today are delayed. That's kind of a big deal because Nintendo's been really plugging the gamepad as this awesome source of your new TV browsing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not on day one.
Not on day one anymore.
Let me tell you why this is a big deal. I have to find it. 1 second, sorry. I didn't expect necessarily to pull this up. All right. Yeah, so there's a quote in their press release today, which was just sort of announcing the general launch of the Wii U, from Reggie saying, it's an everyday connected device offering a combination of games, entertainment, online connectivity, et cetera, et cetera. Never have so many features been packed into one game console, except a lot of those entertainment features are just not actually in the console. Yeah. You look at the side of the box.
So we did this yesterday. We looked down the side of the box, and almost nothing in that box is in there.
Yeah, I mean, here's the weird thing about it. You look at the side of the box, and it's like, play games. Okay, yeah, you can play Wii U games. Backwards compatibility, that's not there until a day one update. The TV, the TVII thing, that's not there. Netflix, not there. Hulu, not there.
Amazon.
They announced YouTube today. That's not there. Amazon's not there. Although we heard some weird conflicting report, or I saw it pass through Twitter, that Netflix claims that it will be there on day one, which makes no sense because apparently Nintendo doesn't know it's there. So that's kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, the point of all this, though, is that like even if that stuff was ready for day one, like it's really weird that we have to download all of that.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have an online connection, which Nintendo didn't even think you had 10 years ago, there's no way for you to get all the cool stuff that's supposed to come with the system.
Yeah, it's really too bad that it's not going to be available for launch. I mean, at least that a lot of the features, like, you'd need online anyway to enjoy them, like Miiverse and the streaming and all of that. So it's not the biggest deal, but it's still, I mean, it should have shipped with all of the features.
But all that other
box.
Stuff you just mentioned, you have to download that as well.
Right. Yeah, that's
so
what I'm saying. If you don't have an internet collection.
As pure like Wii U launch guide knowledge, know that on your first day with your Wii U, you should have an online connection. Because you need to get this package.
Yeah, connect
of stuff.
It with your internet as soon as you get it.
Go to your local Starbucks or something. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, right? So it's
well, you'll have your gamepad, so you don't need to have it plugged into the TV.
That's true. That's actually really cool.
I mean, it's not just the eShop, which isn't there. It's that you can't transfer your Wii content to your Wii U. It's that you can't access SD card hard drive stuff. You can't do it. Like, you can't do anything but play Wii U games. And that's awesome. I mean, obviously,
you don't need this to play Mario. You don't need this to play Nintendo Land.
I think
you need to update it for all the online stuff and for the shop, too.
And to play these things online.
No Miiverse.
Yeah. And you can't play your Wii games, your old Wii games on it until you get an update.
Exactly. I mean, this is what's so crazy about it to me is that, like, I get it, like, and I think all of us in this room are buying this thing for Wii U games, especially for what Nintendo device, you know, sort of comes up with and conjures up now and in the future. But at the same time, like, a lot of people want to put all their Wii stuff onto their Wii U and go sell their Wii. Can't do that yet. You know, not until you
it's
get
clever
this update thing. I mean, it's just so weird to me that, like, I keep looking at it this way. For the past couple of years, we've dealt with a Wii that has had very little software. And I always sort of sat there going, well, that's fine because I know they're working on whatever's next. Clearly, they need to move on and they're working on Wii U, especially once those rumors surfaced. I was like, okay, fair enough. I will deal with nothing, you know, except that. But now it's not, I just don't understand why it's not there. It's weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, if you're talking about families, like, a lot of families aren't going to even know. You would have no idea it's there. Like, you know, Audrey and I have looked at the OS, like, you know, not to get into too much detail, but like, we know, you wouldn't know it's there. You wouldn't know you're missing something unless you knew that, you know, the way we do, or that you read online.
So you think it's a moot point then that, you know, it's not a big deal to everybody else? It just, does the box have like all sorts of logos for the support on it?
That's the problem.
Well, it's like backwards compatible.
TV especially is like a huge selling point for casual audience. Mm-hmm. So
and the commercials are, you know, all geared towards showing people that they can use this to like watch movies on and stuff, and just you won't be able to do that.
We don't even have a specific date. It sounds like something happened, right? Obviously, I mean,
they rushed it. They wanted it out
for Black Friday.
I think they might be reacting and they might be throwing it on Wii U consoles and just throwing them in the box after they have it.
I mean,
like, that would be a smart thing to delay that for.
There's no doubt that they are worried about supply for the holiday season. I mean, just trying to satisfy sort of the core Nintendo faithful will sell them out this year. So no doubt they, you know, the reason it's not in there is because they had to get producing and they had to sort of make a cutoff point of what needs to be in the box and on the memory before it goes. I'm just still baffled that they're rushing for these sorts of things. There is no Wii U Virtual Console.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist because, I don't know, it's not ready yet. They don't have that full gamepad functionality. You can't support more than one hard drive at launch because you need an update eventually to do that. And it's just sort of weird to me. I don't know.
Look, I mean, a lot of these kinds of features were introduced gradually on other platforms before as well, right? And it's difficult to get the stuff right at launch. I'd argue Microsoft has a much more complex system that they delivered at launch and and then updated it over time. Obviously, their console didn't work at launch, but
this is similar to the 3DS. It launched without the eShop when we thought that was going to arrive day one.
I mean, that's sort of my concern and frustration is it's all consoles evolve. 360 is radically different than it was when it launched. PS3, same thing, software library as well as sort of what's on the hardware itself. Mm. But for, you know, Nintendo took a lot of hits when the 3DS launched without most of its stuff. Mm. And they said, we've learned, and we're all like, check. And then, you know, and I'm totally fine with Wii U evolving over time, but when I see it missing, it's, you know, some basic things. What did we say? Like when the eShop is not in there on day one, it's like, come on. Like,
it's
that's
so
what
strange,
happened with
3DS. Right?
Like, come on. Like,
so it's like such a great opportunity when you activate a device, you know, to showcase all the things it can do. And it's very difficult to re-engage the person later on, right? Like, somebody connects their machine to the internet. The machine needs to say, and this is why you're doing this. Yeah. Because, look, right now you can download this.
Here's all this stuff available to you.
It's a big miss. I mean, it really can, like, if you don't make a user register for something in the beginning, it's very difficult to get them to register later.
The funny thing is if you haven't been watching the commercials and reading our articles, you don't know what Miiverse is. When you first turn on the system, like, you see, you know, just your Mii.
That's what you're
and
supposed
stuff.
To see.
So, like, you don't know what, like, we knew what it was because we know all about Miiverse. But if you just are seeing that, you're like, why is my Mii in this barren wasteland of white? Like, what's going on?
Yeah,
like,
so
you'd have no idea what that is.
Yeah, I mean, like, so much of the functionality.
That will happen to many.
I'm like, it would make more sense when you add more Miis and they start talking to each other and stuff. But at first, it's like, what is this?
Yeah, I mean, my only hope is that somehow, I mean, obviously, we knew that Wii started forcing updates through, you know, you'd buy a disc of some, you know, X, Y, or Z game, and then it would be like, hey, by the way, you know, update. So they can do that, but no launch game does that. So, you know, when you put in Mario, it's not going to be like, oh, you should update your system, and it'll put all that in there for you. So they're not even doing that at launch. It's entirely reliant on you knowing and or, you know, thinking that you should be online with this thing. So,
all right, so I'm going to pull back because we were just seeing some cool video of Ninja Gaiden Razor's Edge, and Ryan McCaffrey reviewed this game, and I thought he said something really interesting in the review I was going to read out of it. Nobody else in here has played the Wii U version.
I've played it a fair amount. Wii U,
Yeah, the Wii U version. Yeah, like, I played the, you know, demo version and stuff of it, but he said he's making, you know, a point that the game's kind of expensive to buy if you've already played the game originally. So he says, Razor's Edge might seem like a $60 game, but you should really budget another $50 on top of that, as a pro controller is practically but not exactly required here. While the system's signature Wii U gamepad is plenty ergonomic, it's simply not a good fit, literally, for the kind of action Ninja Gaiden throws at you.
Gaiden.
I just said Gaiden before, and now I said Gaiden. I
go back
my
and
audience.
Forth on that one, too.
That's okay.
And as far as the gamepad screen goes, it's not put to much use. So he's just making the point that maybe we want to pick up a classic controller, or not a classic controller, the pro controller on day one.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what you guys think about, like, what other accessories are people going to need? Because I was also surprised to find out that there's games in Nintendo Land that require Wii Motion Plus.
Yeah, so, I mean, in terms of the Pro Controller is sort of an interesting scenario because...
And that just what we mentioned there, that's four different types of controllers. The regular Wii U controller, Wii U Motion Plus controller, the Pro, and the gamepad.
And a nunchuck, too.
And the nunchuck. So, like, these, we're talking, like, accessory hell from day one. But I want people to know, like, what games they're picking up, what they need. Do people need to pick up this controller for any other game?
I can more or less keep...
Those are going to be hard to find, I think. It looks like they're selling
I recommend the steering wheel shell for Ninja Gaiden.
Actually, the steering wheel works with Tank, Tank,
Tank. The funny thing is, like I've used the gamepad to play
a
similar game.
Like,
I played a little of Ninja Gaiden with it. Yeah. I played a little of Darksiders 2 with it. And, like, it totally works. It's really hard to get used to at first because it's like your hands want to go inward. They're so used to the classic, you know, controller for a console. But after you play for it for a little while, you totally get over it.
And to be fair, Ryan is the executive editor of IGN Xbox, and that controller is a lot like an Xbox controller. So maybe he's more used to it.
Yeah. Exactly. You get used to everything, right? Like, when you're driving a car, you never complain that the steering wheel forces your hands to be far apart, and you're not saying, I need a tiny controller. So I think you will get used to it.
If you can just get over it in your own mind, like, it's totally fine. It's ergonomic.
But he also, you know, he knows the experience of Ninja Gaiden in his mind, right? He knows what it feels like. like, and so playing it on the wider pad might have been just really weird for him too.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that, you know, the Pro Controller is an interesting one because it's really good, but a lot of games don't support it. So I don't know that there's necessarily a burning need for it right away, unless you're like, I really want to play Ninja Gaiden and that's what I'm going to play a lot of, then sure, go for it. But, and I think I'm right on all these things, but stuff like Batman does not use it.
Somehow.
I cannot recall if Assassin's Creed uses it. I don't think it does.
And like, based on this review, Ninja Gaiden might be the reason that you are playing. I mean, you got a good review. It looks like super violent. It's published by Nintendo.
It's much
improved. Really strange. It's probably the most violent game ever published by Nintendo.
Keep in mind that hopefully, if everything goes according to plan, like a lot more of these games will be coming to Wii U. So you're probably going to want this controller anyway. It's a nice controller.
It's
but if you have to buy a bunch of Wii controllers and you know,
it's what your priority is, really.
Because it doesn't. Now remember, the Wii U does not come with a Wii controller.
It just comes with a
gamepad. So, you know, Nintendo Land with a game that comes with it. I think my favorite games in it, like, use the Wii remotes because you have to have four people playing with, you know, the person. So,
I don't know. I would argue, I mean, obviously, if you're getting Nintendo Land, just pick up a couple of Wii remotes with Motion Plus just because
you probably have
it's more a party game. But it is, like, nine of the attractions can be played single player, and those are amazingly fun. Like, I said it in my review, but this is the only mini game collection I've ever played that's actually just as fun alone as it is with two people or with five people. Yeah. So, like, it's better to have more people, obviously, just because it's a party. But if you get this game and you just have your gamepad and you all alone with the system, you'll still have a lot of fun.
I'd be curious to hear how many NVC viewers and listeners don't have Wii remotes, right? Like, if you're into Nintendo, you probably still have some sitting around, unless you're a 3DS gamer.
But they probably have little brothers and little sisters that don't know that, you know, I got to tell my family members now, if they're going to get a Wii U, they have to pick these things
up. That's true. And I just disconnected my Wii and put it in my little son's room. And so he's snagging all the old Wii remotes.
It's the Motion Plus thing that's going to be a problem. Because like a lot of people probably still don't know what Motion Plus is. So if they have all the old Wii remotes and they try and play like Zelda on Nintendo Land, they can't. And they're probably not going to know.
Did you know there's even a newer Wii remote that has the sync button outside the plastic
shell? The
Wii U branded ones, right?
That's awesome. They don't say Wii U on the remote.
They don't even say that. They just have
I think Audrey and Rich, you guys should put on like ninja outfits and in the middle of the night break into people's houses and replace all the old Wii remotes.
It's on our
to
do list. Ninja Santa.
We'll buy you like 100 that should take care of the US, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that the Motion Plus is a big deal for Nintendo Land, at least specifically, because there's only, you know, within Zelda, there's only one role if you're a swordsman assisting an archer. Mm-hmm. That's where you need Motion Plus. Yep. With Metroid, you need to be on the ground. So
Can still play Metroid the other modes.
Metroid, you can play. You can be in the ship, you know, instead of on the ground. And with Zelda, you can be the archer.
If you're playing 1v4, you have to have Wii Motion Plus.
So for Zelda,
Metroid.
For Metroid, if you're on the ground, you need Wii Motion
Plus. But on the ground is four out of the five people, though, right?
Right.
Yeah, if you're playing, you can play both of those games on your own if you want. But if you want
if I
want
to play multiplayer, my Wii remotes that doesn't make any sense because you're just pointing at the screen.
No, but it's using Motion Plus for the aiming mechanic, I believe. Yeah.
Aiming and moving.
That's really frustrating. See, I don't think people know that. Cool. Yeah.
To be fair, the game will tell you.
It tells you, attach or use
that one. Yeah. So I mean, it's pretty clear.
Audrey, you reviewed this game. You haven't been able to talk about it post review. Mm-hmm. What is the whole like web of the game like that we didn't know about based around? Like, what's the theme park like, and like, what's the
Is there something more to it? He doesn't like it. I like it.
Well, I think Rich and I were talking, you know, beforehand, like, we want some depth to, like, you know, what the mini games are based on.
Oh, there's plenty of depth here, and especially for a mini game collection. I like the little plaza hub area because it's just sort of more personal. Like, most mini game collections, it's just a menu, you know, pick bowling, pick baseball, or whatever. But here, it's like, you have this area, you can run around, you can see your friends' Miis, generic Miis, you can run around and do a coin game, you can fill it out with all of these decorations from all of your favorite games.
Right here, right?
And then, exactly, just that thing I'm running around.
There's the coin game right
there. And then that just serves as the hub world that from there you can go into all of these 12 different attractions. So, I mean, it doesn't change the experience except for it just makes it more personal, I feel. I just really like the theme.
I'm excited about Yoshi's Fruit Cart.
I'm so addicted to that game.
Cool. I like
that. So we're looking right here at Captain Falcon. That is one of my least favorites. Yeah. Yoshi's
Cart. Hates this one.
Yoshi's Cart is awesome. I think, you know, the weird thing about Captain Falcon is it reminds me that
Casima Sina. Did you see the Casima Wina?
Yeah.
Well, why is that? Oh, it's because it's referring to
it was the old me. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of the games are really great. I think that the Captain Falcon one's weird because it reminds me that I want an F-Zero game, and that is not F-Zero.
Well, it's funny because they've ignored that franchise for so long, and then suddenly it's in this minigame that's not quite like it to begin with, but it's a little strange. I love Donkey Kong's Crash Course.
Really? That's cool. I was hoping that one would be one that
people
would get
into. That one is so good, especially like at first, it's so funny.
Well, there's other levels though, right?
Well, it's this big, long thing, but it's funny
that's
that...
That's it? That's the only course?
There are multiple things, but it's funny when people, every time I've seen someone first play that game, they're like, this is broken, the gyro's too touchy, but then like when you actually figure out it's you that's doing it wrong, it's amazing how tightly you can control that card.
I mean, what's cool is that
really cool.
Nine of the games can be single player, but the six that are designed just for single player are like old school arcade
They're
style
probably
difficulty.
The most creative,
like,
honestly.
They will beat your ass.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, Balloon
A
Fight.
Balloon Trip Breeze.
That one's awesome.
That's
Donkey
intense.
Kong is great. Like, they are difficult and challenging, but you still manage to get a pretty... You know, it's like the old arcade games where you like make a decent amount of progress so you feel like you're competent, but then it just beats you into submission and you're like, okay. It's actually kind of like some of the Mario challenges too. So
it's cool that there are like extra stamps and trophies and like all kinds of things to sort of incentivize you to actually play these games a lot.
Yep. What's next,
Sam? So speaking of Mario, let's move on because Richard George here reviewed a new Super Mario Bros. U, which is, I'd say, my most anticipated game by far, but also... probably the best game at launch. I think from what I've played,
it's shaping
and
up
what
that
I can
way.
Talk about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the weird thing is that I was not looking forward to this game at all, honestly. And
especially after Mario 2.
Yeah, because Mario 2 was disappointing to me.
I like Mario 2.
I don't know. The new Mario series, honestly, to me, has not been that interesting.
I'll go with you there, but I think Mario 2, just the coin collecting, just the fact that they made a change, I was like, thank God, I want to do something different. And they do that in this.
Mario 2 is great. This one's a lot more creative, though, from a level design perspective.
Yeah.
I mean,
it had all of its senior designers on
that's,
it. So.
That's the thing, is that Nintendo,
and they're
Nintendo
actually
Land.
Seniors too because they're very old.
Well, I mean, so Mario 2, like, that was the thing, was I just didn't think the level design was very quality at all. This is like Mario World. This
really?
Is Mario World
it's
2.
Mario World meets Mario 3.
I never see anything, honestly. Like, I have not played that much of this game, right? I played a little bit. I love that we're in HD now, and you know, I like some of the things I'm seeing, but
Giant
like
World.
Mario World and Super Mario Brothers 3 surprised me with all these clever new puzzle ideas, right? Like the concept of flying with a cape and like using the cape to go beyond certain barriers that you couldn't get past. Like, all that felt really new, and everything I see in this is something that I feel like is based on stuff I've seen in new Super Mario Brothers before.
When were you last a flying squirrel fan?
The flying squirrel is awesome.
But isn't that just a bad version of the cape?
No,
no,
it's a bit
it's
different.
Pretty different.
It's a little different. I mean, here's the thing is like, they had the Wii version in there, and there's Rayman Legends. I think the weakest part of you is that it visually, I just don't think it's that interesting. I think the new Mario series is very generic.
That stage is amazing.
But you look at stages like this, and you're sitting there going, why didn't you do more of that? Because that is awesome. Mm-hmm. They just don't do
it. So we were all
it.
Hoping there'd be more like that, because we kept on seeing the previous one, painted, Starry Night inspired.
I wanted like Picasso and Cezanne and like all sorts of artists.
Yeah, cool. And they would have been really,
pronunciation
really...
Pronunciation of
Cezanne. Yeah. They would have done... amazing things with doing that, but they don't, and that's really unfortunate because I think it leads people to assume that this is just like all the other new Mario games. But there's a lot they do that adds to this whole thing. I mean, they bring back the overworld, which is an older concept, but it hasn't been around since Mario World. But then the world actually changes as you sort of play through
before
it.
Before you say all of them have overworlds, this one has like a complex,
the seamless
cool,
overworld.
Changing overworld.
So more like the map
in Mario World.
Exactly. Instead of the kind of linear 1, 2, 3, 4, 5
cool,
levels.
Like little hammer bros who run across and battle.
If you're a fan of this podcast, you'll know that that's the one thing I complain about in every Mario game is that they got away from that. So I'm so excited to play this.
Yeah.
And,
there's actual branching paths. So you'll come up to points where it's like, do you want to go to this world or this world? You know, and I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. There's enemies that roam the worlds. There are boss fights that will happen in the middle of the overworld.
Yeah, oh, that's cool.
You'll just be going along not that there's really spoilers in a Mario game, but I won't get into too much detail, but you'll just be wandering along and some dude's just like, hey, I'm gonna fight you right now.
Yeah. That's like the roving,
just had a boss fight.
That's like the Turtle Brothers in Mario 3.
It is like that, but they have those in here too, which is cool. So not only are there roaming enemies,
nice skill
there. They're the challenges.
And this here is the reason that pushes this, you know, so much above some of the other new Mario games. Challenge mode is what every veteran Mario player has always wanted Nintendo to do, which is actually challenge them to do something difficult.
Why are you,
you know?
Playing as a me?
Because you can play as me.
And what's with those, the Goombrats or what are those guys?
Yeah, Goombrats.
Okay.
Yeah, that's actually their name. All right. Well done.
Yeah. No, I read that. So yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not yeah. that smart.
No, but yeah.
So
I mean,
explain the challenges a little
challenge
bit.
Challenge mode is amazing because it actually stems across, so Nintendo designers would make these levels and then they'd be like, okay, I'm going to try and beat this level without touching the ground once. And they would do that just amongst each other yeah. as their own personal challenges. So they just built that into this game. And so they'll be, you saw a little bit of footage that, yeah, so this is one here where you have to just jump on these Goombrats and get one-ups. And, you know, here's another one where you're dodging these fireballs from the turtles and trying to survive as long as you can.
So are you playing an entire level or are you just playing a part of
the
level?
Depends. Sometimes it's a little piece. Yeah. Sometimes it's a full-out level. It just depends. There's all sorts of
different modes. So here's this menu
screen. And they're different, like, levels of challenges. You have 1-star, 3-star, 5-star.
They rank from 1 to 5, and I've watched Nintendo employees just die repeatedly at about a 3-star.
Well, like, us on the Nintendo team or Brian or other people in the office, like, we've played Mario before. We're pretty good at it.
Look at this. Look at this.
We were just having a terrible time with some of these challenges. They're really difficult, which is amazing.
How many are there? Is there a good amount of them?
There's a fair amount. I mean, Nintendo's asking us not really to get into too many details about like beyond a 3-star, but these things are difficult. There's ones where you have to escort enemies as they're trying to kill you.
And when we say we can't get into it, on missions. Monday, the day after launch, we're doing a live stream where we can
we're
talk about every
it.
Single
yeah.
game.
Yeah, well, we'll have a bunch of footage. Although, honestly, say these things, you know, beat my ass. Like, I didn't get all the way through all the challenge modes, honestly. Like, I got a good idea of them, but they
well, like
are hard.
A group of, like, 5 of us were trying to do this one challenge with bubbles.
Yeah.
Where you have to, like, jump on the bubbles that the Yoshi spits out and get your way all the way up to the top of this level, and it's so hard.
Yeah. There's other ones where you have to work with somebody with the gamepad, so the person on the gamepad has to make platforms for you and escort you as a Mario player across an entire world. Apparently, there's some designer at Nintendo that can just... He plays by himself where he flicks the gamepad with his finger as he's holding a Wii remote and does it all by himself.
So
really? I don't even know how you do that, but apparently there's someone over there that can do that.
What?
Yeah, I know. I don't even know.
I don't have any friends.
Unless Iwata was making things up and there are Iwata asks, that apparently is something that someone can do. But yeah, I mean, it's just really, really cool. It's something, the new Mario series has generally been an easier series. I've never really felt like super challenged by most of it. And I felt like the story mode had a better difficulty curve level. And also the challenge mode, you know, is finally an admission that there are some serious Mario players out there that really want to be tested. Which is awesome.
So let's do a quick rundown of the big third-party games that we're kind of excited about and what people should be picking up, even though we haven't reviewed a lot of these yet, but we've seen them, and we can't really talk about a lot of details, but Scribblenauts, you guys did a cool preview of with Nintendo stuff in it.
Yeah.
So the Wii U version of Scribblenauts has, and I don't know how much of this we can talk about.
Talk about it.
Yeah,
we can talk about the
review might be up by the time we...
Okay.
Post this.
So basically that you can type in tons of Nintendo terms, and like you can type in Ganon, and Ganondorf is a different character. Like both those are different
things. That's a funny thing for things like that. Like if you already have Zelda on the screen and then you type in Sheik, she'll disappear and then Sheik will show up.
And I gotta say,
great.
Man, that team in HD, they are just, it looks so different. Like, you don't think you can scale that up, but man, it looks good. It's just so colorful.
What's,
and like,
what's funny
and
to me is
looking.
So many of the characters have their very Scribblenauts-esque design, but Tingle looks exactly
just
the
like
same.
Tingle.
And Ganondorf actually is the Wind Waker design.
And
he looks
great.
Which
fits kind of cell look.
If you ever wanted to see Mario with like a chainsaw, this is the game for
that's
you.
Awesome.
This is probably the only place.
I'm surprised they let them do it because Nintendo is so strict on their character usage.
Yeah.
I mean,
but then again, there's Tekken.
Exactly. Now, but those are costumes.
Costumes. Yeah.
They have mushrooms. Mushrooms are a character.
Yeah. All right.
So that's another third-party game that's been augmented by Nintendo.
Mushrooms aren't characters.
But it's creepy and it feels strange.
Yeah. In that game, there's lots of costume stuff. We actually did a previous episode about that. And so there's a couple ports that are out on launch day 2: Mass Effect 3, Assassin's Creed 3, and Darksiders 2.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which ones of those we can actually talk about in here, but I know you've been playing Darksiders 2.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you can talk about it.
As Audrey nervously likes to be. I mean, let's look, I think it's safe to say, I mean, we've seen these at preview events. You will see some. So I'm also going to publish.
And Batman, I should say Batman.
I'm going to publish a full explanation of this later, but there is one big rule we're using for the reviews, which is if it has a major online component, we are actually not going to review it at launch because I find Nintendo's approach to online a little too unreliable for my taste, especially with this latest news of all their TV apps going.
So that would go for the sports games too, like Madden.
Madden.
Yeah, for people who don't know, we don't have access to that update yet either.
Yeah, that's
and
that's,
also can you explain what we're re-reviewing, like Ninja Gaiden, and what we're augmenting or review?
Yeah, it's sort of a port-by-port basis. Right? We're sort of taking a look at it, and if it's significantly different, if it's enough to like alter the gameplay, alter the score potentially.
So is Ninja Gaiden the only
one
that we're doing?
Ninja Gaiden's the only one that's being completely redone.
Because that adds so much
that changes the entire game.
So you can expect when we put out our reviews to these other ones, it'll be, you know, the original reviewers. Impressions, and usually their impressions of the new stuff, but sometimes another person's impressions of the
new
stuff.
By and large, we tried to keep to the original reviewer. Oh, here's
look at all those features you're going to get at launch.
Yeah, all in one place. That's it's just a comment on the footage here. It's TV is not currently slated to show up until December, though Nintendo told me they're trying to go as early in December as possible. But so whatever the, I don't know what it is, like a server thing or whatnot, but you know, they're working on it. Anyway. So yeah, in all cases, we tried to preserve the original reviewer. There were a couple of scenarios where just from a manpower issue, we just said, okay, someone else is going to evaluate the Wii U edition to, you know, whatever the original content was. So
the good news is you can still read the Xbox and PS3 versions of those reviews if you want to make a decision. If you don't know whether you want to buy, you know, Mass Effect 3 or not, you can read those reviews.
Yeah, so I mean, you can expect, so I believe Scribblenauts should be up by Sunday. Zombie U will show up on Sunday. Darksiders will show up on Sunday.
It's Sunday, November 18th.
US
Sunday launch day.
US launch day. Batman. But stuff like Call of Duty, Assassin's Creed, I'm trying
NBA?
To think of Madden. NBA, Tekken. All those are going to wait. And in some cases, we're practically done. Like we've done all of our prep for the review.
Just have to test that
we're just waiting because I just, you know, some games I think you can go, you know, this will work. I've played this in test environments. I know what this is like. This will work. With Nintendo, I just honestly, I do not trust them right now. So I'm just going to wait and see what this looks like. We'll test it. We'll update our consoles, check it all out, and then and then, you know, publish. So I think after Sunday, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you will see quite a bit. There's me.
Oh, no, not that guy.
There's me. You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, just before Thanksgiving, I think you'll see a fair amount of reviews showing up as we're just like, yep, that's good. That online works. Oh, yeah, hopefully. Yeah. And then, you know, we still have a couple other lingering
ones. Trickle out a little bit after that. Right. And for anyone who doesn't know, which you should, our Mario and Nintendo Land and Ninja Gaiden reviews are already up on the site.
And
on
we have a whole Wii U launch guide that's big banner on IGN. Mm-hmm. You guys can look all that up there. It's great.
And
by the way,
our
looking at the footage, did you guys choose that room on purpose? It has a post-it stamp Goomba on the wall.
Our video person did do that, yes.
And a little Mario. That's just somebody's office, isn't it?
That's a meeting room.
Oh, meeting room. Yeah.
So I want to go over, and we don't have that much more time, but I wanted to talk about, since we've all had the hardware in the office for this long, we're actually going to do a hardware review. We're going to do a gamepad review. A standalone gamepad review.
I can walk you through that too if you want.
And I just want to talk about also like what quirks and like unique stuff we've discovered about the Wii U gamepad and the
mostly
the controller.
It's what isn't going
like
to
for
be
instance,
on the
Brian, walked over to my desk the other day with it in his hand and he's like, "Look, I'm still playing Scribblenauts."
But the
most important question, will it charge when your machine is off?
No, because you don't direct. The gamepad
will because it's
separate. You're going
to
need two outlets.
The most important question is how much have you guys used the stand?
The stand is actually really cool, and I thought it was going to be another 3DS case where it's like, okay, just toss this as soon as I open the box. But it's actually neat if you just want to have it propped up on the coffee table, either just to let it charge or just to have the map screen and you're playing with the Pro Controller. Don't toss that out. It's actually really cool.
Most people here probably won't be playing sitting at their desk and writing.
Well, here's the other
coffee table
though. But the other thing I would say is that, and something that actually is pretty valuable about it is when video chat is up and running finally, that actually could be a pretty useful
Nintendo video chat.
This up.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. What's it called? Wii U chat, I think, is what it's
technically
called.
That's the name of this wonderful video podcast.
That's true. but I think that would probably be a great way to prop up the the controller when mm-hmm. you need to, something mm-hmm. like that. That's actually pretty useful. But yeah, like to Per's point, you don't directly charge it through the system. You actually charge it separately on its own AC cord.
So you need two outlets.
So you will need two outlets, which, you know, some of us don't really
have. And we don't have two outlets.
Well, we don't, we don't have two spare outlets.
Aww.
Rich, this crazy device.
I have those.
He lives in a box. Leave him alone.
That's true.
It's difficult finding outlets. Four additional outlets.
So have you guys been using your stylus or do you use your fingers?
Back and forth. I honestly, at first, my inclination is to use my finger, and then I'm like, oh yeah, this thing has a stylus.
I would say it depends, right? If you're playing Yoshi, I absolutely would recommend the stylus.
For a cart, you need the stylus.
By and large, I think you just use your fingers for the most part, from what I've seen, everything I've played. So,
Look, that's what mine's going to look like when I get it on Sunday.
Oh, look, no fingerprints. Savor that look, guys.
Yeah, exactly. That's what mine will look like for 10 seconds.
So fingerprints have been something of note to us. I think everybody keeps commenting on the black version. It just looks so gross.
Especially, don't touch it.
Because we've been sharing a very few systems in the office and they've gone home with everybody.
Yeah, we have two systems. They've been the village bicycles. They've been passed all around and they just are grody.
You spent the night with one, right?
I did. It was good.
It's the name of an article on IGN.com. I spent the night with
one. I know.
I mean, I told you guys, I have three kids, and after they're done playing with game controllers, they have barnacles on them. I don't even know what substances they are, and like the shiny black controller is freaking me out.
Oh, it gets gross.
I won't
be
able to touch it anymore.
Yes, it just has like a layer of filth on it.
I'm gonna wrap it in plastic. Just
look, Rich is holding one straight out of the box. It's covered in fingerprints.
Yeah, that was the funny thing is that between takes, even the box to Wii U takes fingerprints really well. So like I was.
So you don't have to plug in this controller to a Wii remote then, right?
No.
The Pro Controller.
No, you don't. So that.
Well, it's not that funny because we had to do that before.
So the Pro Controller, you can see there, there's a small USB port on the back there. That connects directly into the system.
Now, does this have any motion controls at all built into it?
No.
Can you do tilt or anything?
No.
Like the 6X?
No, that's all.
It has rumble though. Correct. I
supposedly
believe.
I've never really felt it in to any strong degree,
and that lasts for 80 hours.
I also have
charge.
Not played a game extensively with this thing.
The gamepad have rumble?
The gamepad has rumble.
It does.
Really?
That it has
does.
A lot
I don't think
of rumble.
I felt that in all, everything I
it
played.
Does.
I want
yeah.
to I want to know what happens when you play like a traditional shooter that relies on jump and shoot with the flipped face buttons. You know, I'm really curious.
Yeah, so what
Per's
talking about is that the analog stick is actually above the A, B, X, Y buttons. Yeah. That's never been done before.
It's the bizarro PlayStation controller.
There's really no reason for them to do that either, because on GameCube and everything, it was the other way.
Resembling the other machines to the other controllers too much, maybe.
They wanted symmetry, I guess.
The shape is so close to the Xbox controller.
It's basically a classic SNES controller with the sticks up top.
Yep.
So it'd be great for virtual console games, too.
Yeah.
But except virtual console games.
There's that. Yeah.
There will be there. We'll
eventually,
get
it'll be good for that.
Virtual console games cannot be played with that controller.
Yeah, virtual console only lives within Wii mode, quote unquote.
So we need to talk about that.
But that's the old one, right?
Right.
We don't know what happens with the Wii U virtual console.
Yeah.
Right. Because it doesn't exist.
The game will, though. The games that you've already bought and Wii games have to run in Wii mode. So that means on day one, as we were mentioning, you can't play your Wii games. You can't play your old downloaded virtual console games either.
Unless
until you transfer.
They let you transfer eventually, right?
No, they let you transfer. But you can't do that on day one. And even
wait.
But you can't play them because it's in Wii mode, right?
Wait, hold on. Okay.
Two things here.
Wii mode and the backwards compatibility are basically the same idea. They need day one update. The day one update will allow us to do backwards compatibility and Wii mode. When you transfer all of your material from Wii over into this Wii mode, the self-contained sort of like emulation basically of the original Wii, it acts like a Wii. So all your virtual console Wii games are within that mode. And I mean, and honestly, so this is our understanding of it. I have not done this because I don't have the update, but the idea is once you engage that mode, you must use the Wii remotes, the nunchucks. Because
it's basically a Wii at that
point.
It's
like a Wii in the box.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that it is very conceivable that Nintendo will release a virtual console for the Wii U
that is
not in that Wii in the box.
Correct.
Absolutely.
They will let you sync your old games over, and then they could use the pad. But
At that point, I'm hopeful you'll be able to move your old Wii virtual console titles.
That's what I'm talking
about. Wait. I am pretty sure that they're not going to let you use your Wii virtual console console games on the, you know, within the Wii U virtual. I think if you want to play the original Mario Brothers on your gamepad, you're buying it again.
That would be lame.
That would be terrible.
That is a guess. I don't know, but that is my guess.
That would make me cry.
So if Nintendo is cool, they would, you know, definitely let you do some sort of patch update thing, and I don't know. But that just sounds like I don't know.
What
that
if
just doesn't
I want to play
like
Wario's Woods on my gamepad?
Yeah.
What if?
Guys, so
you buy it again.
When people are in line for the Wii U this weekend, and when they're ordering them online stuff, should they have a hard drive ready? Is that something that you guys think will be necessary?
For what?
It depends what they plan to do with their system. Like, if they're going to plan on downloading, like, Mario and all kinds of stuff, then eventually they'll want a hard drive. I don't know if they'll need it day one.
But you can't fill it just with launch titles.
Not day one, they won't need it.
What about your old games? If you're going to transfer those.
Wii games have to be...
Depends which one you got, basic or deluxe.
Yeah.
Wii games need to be kept within your SD cards.
So those can't go on a hard drive?
This, as far as we again, know. We haven't actually messed with this because we don't have the update. So some of this is based on what we've heard.
Okay. So we can't. Like, it's hard to make the call whether people want to expand their Wii.
We do know, for example, that Wii U will not store its data on an SD card. It'll only work with the hard drive or the internal storage. We do know that you can only use one hard drive. Currently, you can only attach one hard drive. We do know that the Wii U will only recognize up to 2 terabytes of space. We do know that the operating system takes 4 gigabytes of internal memory. So when you buy your eight gigabyte system, you only have 4.
iPad or an iPod.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's beyond just like a system format issue.
You notice nobody says
OS.
Beyond on this podcast. Now.
the one safe zone.
But
I was looking at the Xbox versus the Pro controller, and it's just like it makes me kind of sad that the Xbox controller has the colored face buttons when that was the Super Nintendo logo and the Super Famicom controllers.
And Nintendo doesn't have
that thing.
The red, yellow, green, blue buttons. It's just kind of sad.
Yeah,
that's weird.
That Nintendo gave up and made theirs like boring black. Anyway,
but yeah. So like here's an interesting one. If you for some reason pre-ordered a basic system, you know, maybe you just wanted the white color scheme.
There wasn't any.
Or maybe there wasn't a deluxe. Left. Yeah. The thing to know is that the OS takes about 4 gigs of your space, so you literally cannot download Nintendo Land and Mario at the same time, because Nintendo Land is about 3.5 gigs and Mario is about 2.5 gigs. So you absolutely need to go deluxe if you're not planning on getting a hard drive in order to start downloading things, or you need to have a hard drive that or a couple hard drives, you know, around. That's the other big thing, is like, what is compatible in terms of hard drives? And there's a lot of sort of qualifications to this thing, and I don't know all these portable hard drives very well, but there are definitely some restrictions. Like if you have a hard drive that requires power through the USB, but it needs like a USB 3.0 and up, that's probably not going to work for you. There's a lot of restrictions and a lot of just.
And we have a full article about that, and then we have an article, Wii U Wiki about it.
And the trick though is like we have the article, but at the same time, like you got to test them. Like it's not, you know, we could test several. And, you know, we could test 6 or 7 or 8 different types, and maybe those aren't the ones that you have. And that's just a very tricky thing. Like, it's a, you know, you're going to have to try it. Like, I would highly recommend, like, borrowing a friend's or something and seeing what you can do, you know.
Yep. All right. Well, we should wrap up this podcast pretty soon. But I wanted to know, are you guys, what are your plans are for a Nintendo launch day? I'm going to be going around noon to pick mine up. It's paid off.
Why wait till noon?
Because I can't get up before that.
Wow. I respect
you,
sir.
No, I'm just kidding. I might go at midnight. I need to call GameStop and see if they're going to do it. I've heard mostly no midnight
launches.
There
aren't many launches in the back. I know where I pre-ordered is not doing midnight.
Yeah, my GameStop stuff doesn't open at midnight, but I'll be there when they open.
Well, so the real reason I don't want to go when they open is because I have no interest in waiting in line. Even if I have to pay, I'll just skip that. I'll skip that part.
Yeah,
but I'm a little worried they'll get
paying?
Rid of my... No, I already paid.
I thought you were like, nah, paying. I'm just going to walk in.
I got the receipt in my back pocket right now. I should be able to walk in, walk out. But the one thing that'll prevent me from doing that is some kind of like gridlock, line setting.
Hey, the footage right now is showing the network ID stuff, and Bill was introducing it from Nintendo. I cracked up, man. Only Nintendo would do a presentation where they say, like, and over here is where, Nintendo Wii U owners can register their user. We call them users.
Oh.
It
cringe.
It's amazing, you know, because, like, they make it seem like it's something special, but it's like the most generic and boring term for something.
Yep.
You
it's know? Like when we have Xbox introduced
profile.
Yeah, exactly.
When Xbox introduced avatars as memes. Like, yeah, we've seen this before, guys.
I know of this thing.
Anyway, so Audrey, are you going? You're sticking with the one you have through work, so you're not going to be going.
No,
for
I'm
going to
be picking one up.
You'll be playing games.
Yeah, I'm going to pick one up.
What are you going to play on launch day?
I'm going to play more Nintendo Land because I didn't get enough of it. It's really fun.
Awesome.
Probably have some people over. I'm going to play Mario because I haven't actually gotten to beat that game because I've been so busy with the games I've been reviewing. And probably going to pick up Tekken, you know.
Cool. What are you going to play on launch day, Rich?
Nope. No. No, I mean, so actually, here's the weird thing is I'm going to be playing it all day Saturday because that hypothetically is when I get the update. So that's me testing all the other
things.
What
are you going to play for fun?
Set up.
What's the game you're saving to play for fun? Scribble knots.
I guess I don't know.
Rich doesn't
I mean,
have fun.
This is true.
I mean, I've sort of been watching over.
I'm
all
sure you'll play Nintendo Land.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, I've sort of been watching over all these games so much for the past 2 weeks that I would actually relish not.
That's
playing
the funny thing
Wii U
is people keep asking.
What about
us
Crash Mo?
I'm gonna play the hell out of that.
Yeah. I might get Crash Mo. I mean, I think you're gonna
be playing Epic Mickey the entire day.
Yeah.
3DS.
No.
Pear, I assume you'll be on Nintendo Land for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick up Nintendo Land for sure because multiplayer will drive me crazy.
You have Nintendo Land in your pack.
I can't stand cooperative platforming.
You got the pro.
I got the pack in, yeah. And then I pre-ordered Zombie U. Got to talk to a couple more editors internally to see if I should keep my pre-order. What's going on?
Yeah,
we'll see what happens with that.
We have some copies floating around, so I'm going to give it a try before I buy it.
Here's the interesting thing is, like, I want to play Halo 4. I want to play Black Ops 2. I want to finish Assassin's Creed 3, and I probably should play Dishonored. So
you
start
playing last yesterday, night. Yeah. I finished it last night, and you just
and you like it?
Yeah.
I need to,
oh my gosh, it's good.
I need to play 3, 4, and 5 of that. That's the thing is, like, I've been doing so much of this and WWE before that and Resident Evil before that. Like, I just have not played anything else. So
I need to get
on
Dishonored. I have it. I just haven't had time. Yeah. But so, yeah, that's the funny thing is that people keep asking Rich and me, like, if we're excited for the Wii U launch, and it's like, well, we've kind of had the system for a while, and we played these games over the course of, like, a few months, so it's not...
Destiny's
it's
just
kind of a funny
around
scenario.
It's also just a very different thing. Like, it's just such a different experience on how this works.
All right,
works,
guys.
So. Anyway.
So we do need to wrap this up. Let me see here. I have anything else to go? No, we went through everything. All right.
Awesome.
Well, that's all for now, and happy launch day to everyone. They don't happen often. Be sure to tune in to our live stream next week. Do you have a time for that?
11 to 3.
November 19th.
Pacific.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.